at his throne to wear a crown of shame. Forsaken son, when he our same became, in blackest night he faced his death alone. In brightest day he rose and claimed his throne. Consider him who chose a lonely cross. Consider him and marvel at his loss. Despising shame, Christ suffered in your place. Consider him, sufficient is his grace.
Though in the race of faith you seek relief, recess your gaze on him who knows your grief.
Rejected by the ones he came to save, without complaint his sacred life he gave. Consider him who chose a lonely cross. Consider him and marvel at his loss. Despising shame, Christ suffered in your place. Consider him, sufficient is his grace. All those who long to be like Jesus Christ must now partake in his self-sacrifice. Take up your cross, endure the struggle now. In time you'll learn the cross leads to the crown. Consider him who chose a lonely cross. Consider him and marvel at his loss. Despising shame, Christ suffered in your place. Consider him, sufficient is his grace. Consider him, sufficient is his grace.
All right, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I had actually preached this message to the teens at my church. Some of your teens were there. And I preach it at the jail, but I think it's important. It's an important message on how to live the Christian life. Because we fail continually. We struggle continually. I know I do. You know, sometimes I have those days, even weeks, when I'm not asking the Lord what He's, you know, what He wants me to do, but I'm asking Him, Lord, what am I doing? I'm confused, you know what I mean? It's like I'm being pulled in 10,000 directions. And it's like, Lord, get me back on track because I don't even know what I'm doing. And so we all have those, and we all come off the beaten trail. And sometimes we just ultimately fail. And we continue to fail, and we fail, and we fail. I, at the prison, am surrounded by guys who continually fail. You know, they'll do what they can, or at least they think, but they fall. We may win them to Christ. And for me just to find out that they're in a hospital because they OD'd on heroin. We had two overdoses last week alone on heroin in the prison. It's a very serious issue. So when we see this and we're like, wow, I thought this guy came to Christ. What's going on? Why is he failing? Why can't he grow? In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, we're looking at a man named Rehoboam. You might have heard of him. He is the grandson of David. He is the son of Solomon. And we see that he pretty much ruined everything that was given to him. And why? Now, when I was a teen, I looked at this and it was preached that, well, he didn't follow the advice of the elders, which is important. We need to do that. But that's not the reason ultimately he failed. The reason he failed is right here in 12, chapter 12, verse 14. It says, let me find it myself here. And he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Ultimately, that was Rehoboam's downfall. It wasn't that he forsook his father's counselor's advice. You know, ultimately, it was because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Had he prepared his heart to seek the Lord, I imagine he would have accepted that advice. But it failed. He failed when he refused to do that. Now, this is not just a teenage issue. Because sometimes it can be a church issue too. Sometimes when some of the older Christians and the deacons and the church and the leadership comes and approaches you, and believe me when I tell you, that's not what they want to do. I have to do it in my prison. I have a fellow who is acting out of character. And I have to approach him. And he's an usher. Now, I don't want to offend him. I don't want him to say, I'm done with this church and never coming back. But I have to address him. I have to talk to him. Why? Because I love him. Because I'm called to. Sometimes, though, when we take that advice the wrong way, we don't like it. We don't like it. And we run the other way. And sometimes, when you look back at it, why? It's not because they offended me. It's because my heart wasn't in the right place. When we look at the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, at the end of all their lives, we see this summarization. And we see this same connotation. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or, they did good in the sight of the Lord. Every one of us is going to have a summary of our life given to us. You, me, and everybody. We'll have that summary. Now, it's going to be one of two ways. You are a wicked servant, or a wicked sinner. Depart from me, I never knew you. Or, thou good and faithful servant. That designation is going to depend on your place in Jesus Christ. But, the good and faithful servant, you may just get in by the skin of your teeth. That's not the design of the Christian life. It's not to get in at the skin of your teeth. It's to do what? It's to serve the Lord with success and to seek Him. Now, I want to let you know that success doesn't happen in the Christian life by autopilot. I've accepted Christ. I have His Holy Spirit. Now, smooth sailing. I'm going to succeed. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work on autopilot. When you try to run the Christian life on autopilot, it's like texting and driving. You ain't watching where you're going. I had my daughter total her van texting and driving. Not many times I told that girl not to text and drive. Anyway, didn't hurt the truck. But that's a side point. When you're not focusing on what you need to focus on, you're going to crash. And success in the Christian life, it's not excused by what you have around you. It's not excused by your circumstance. Okay, let's take a look at Rehoboam real quick. Inherited the greatest kingdom the earth has ever known. I told this to the teens when I preached this. I started looking them up in today's standards, today's money, today's kingdom. What would it be worth, you know? And it was just fascinating. They say that Solomon was worth about $2.2 trillion. In today's money, $2.2 trillion. That the temple that was built was about a $500 million project. $500 million project in today's money. He had an annual income, just in gold alone, of over $1 billion. All that kingdom. In fact, we read in God's Word when the queen came to visit him, she talked about the steps. And he had a golden footstool. All his cups were golden. All this was inherited to Rehoboam. He had it. Boom. And guess what? No government came in to tax it. It was all his. All his. And he blew it. He blew it. It isn't success in a Christian life is not excused, or failure to have success is not excused by your situation. You can't say, God, I would have prepared my heart to seek you, but this woman you gave me, she's driving me crazy. God, I would have prepared my heart to seek you, but these kids are constantly needing my attention. This job, or whatever it is that you may use, it's not an excuse. Turn your Bibles to Ezra. Ezra chapter 7 for me. Here we have two different people. Rehoboam had counselors, godly counselors, had all his needs met, couldn't possibly outspend himself if he wanted to. Had all the luxuries. He had the priests, he had the temple, he had counselors. David was his grandfather. He had all these things, and he had the wisest man in the world as his dad. Now, he did some foolish things, but he was nevertheless smart. So here we have all these things. This is what Rehoboam had, and he ultimately failed because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Let's look at Ezra. What are the conditions Ezra was born into? Born under a heathen, in a heathen kingdom, under a heathen king. Not given the luxuries of life. And what do we find in this in Ezra 7:10? Ezra ended up becoming a priest, right? Becoming a scribe. Doing mighty things. When you look up Ezra, some believe that the canon of the Old Testament was put together by Ezra. Ezra did great things for the Lord. Why? It says in Ezra 7:10. Let me find it myself. By the way, if you want to know, I'm using my iPhone. They're not evil. Technology's not evil. I have the King James Bible on it. Anyway, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach it in Israel statutes and judgment. God used Ezra in a mighty way. Nowhere near the privilege that Rehoboam had. Nowhere near. Didn't have those godly counselors around him. Didn't want for nothing. But instead God used him. Why? Because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Not only to seek the Lord, but to do it. You had this young lady up here today. And what Jeff said was correct. And to take her to Joshua chapter 1 was spot on. To meditate on God's word and to do it. That is seeking the Lord. Meditate and do. Turn with me to your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, this is something that we say in the jail constantly. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's not enough just to read your Bible. You have to meditate on it. That means to think on, think over throughout your day. You see, I know a lot of guys who read their Bible all the time. They don't do anything with it. It doesn't change their life. They don't meditate on what they've learned. As a teenager in camp, we used to go to a camp in Northland, and I remember with Steve Pettit sitting down, and he challenged us teens, and he was just one of the guests at the time, to pray every day. And then he challenged us to read God's Word every single day. And I made a promise. I said, Lord, I will read your Word every single day. But do you know the kind of what form that took? It was like, hey, I'm crashing out, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to read the Bible. And run in there and finding the shortest verse I can find and going, ding, got that job done today. Let's move on. I never meditated on God's Word. And there was little growth. Little growth. Little growth, little success. Same way here. We have to meditate. We have to think on. That's how we prepare our heart. We meditate and we think on. And by the way, guys, seeking the Lord, it's not something that like you're encouraged to do. It's something you're told to do. It's not a question. If you've come to Christ, It's your duty. It's your obligation. We never see this, hey, if you guys don't mind, won't you seek the Lord today? No, we're told to do it. We read in Colossians, if you be risen in Christ, that's you guys, that's believers, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. It is a must. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. So what does it mean to seek His face? In 2 Chronicles 12:14, where we started, he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That word prepared means fixed. It means staked in the ground. It means lifted up. So it is a commitment beforehand to do something. It's not something you're going to do by accident. Serving the Lord, preparing your heart, is not something that's automatically going to happen. You have to purposely do it. Now, guess where the ability to do that comes from? It comes from God. Isn't God wonderful? Not only does He redeem us, not only has He saved us and done wonderful things in our lives, and He tells us, know me, seek me. Then He says, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Isn't that great? I mean, that is fantastic. My daughter said this. Now, my daughter is not the most loving daughter. She's more of a tomboy. But you know what she said yesterday? I told her, I said, hey, you know what? You can do a lemonade stand tomorrow if you want. I will buy you the lemonade and the cups, and you can sell lemonade. Something my kids do sometimes. And she's walking away, and she stopped, and she turned around, and she goes, that's why I love you being my dad. Because you help me. God helps us serve Him. God helps us prepare our hearts to seek Him. Ain't that amazing? And even when we don't know Him, He does it. Remember last time I was here, we talked about memorials, right? Look at creation. Look how beautiful it is. When we drove away Memorial Day, you know what I seen on 309? That beautiful rainbow, right? That we talked about. And God's saying, look how big I am. This is God in His mercy, reminding us to seek Him. By the way, this word seek, He prepared not His heart to seek the Lord. It's present tense. Those verses we read, seek the Lord in His strength. All those are present tense verbs to do. It's not something like, hey, hide and seek, I found you, God, now I'm good. It's continual. It's daily. It's something we have to do all the time. By the way, guys, it's something that we have to remind ourselves to do every day. Because, like I said, it's not every other day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, right? It's every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How does it get that way? Because we're growing. Because we're seeking Him and we're finding more of Him. It happens, guys, when we set our mind and heart on God. It's a conscious fixing of our mind and the affections of our heart to God. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, it says, now set your mind and heart to seek your God. Set your mind and heart to seek your God. Will you seek Him continually? Will you search for Him? By the way, if you say, yeah, I want to seek God, well, how do we do it? How do we seek the Lord? Well, I love it because God tells us. God tells us that we seek the Lord prayerfully. That's one. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah verse 29. We seek God. One way we seek God is through prayer. By the way, guys, I don't know if I told you this, but once a week I have the inmates, the strong, the faithful believers, they fast once a week. They do without their meal, and they come up and they pray corporately. Last week was great. I was running late, and I didn't make it. And those guys on their own prayed right in the middle of the prison yard for all the other inmates to see. Man, that was really cool. But they're praying for this church. They're praying for you folks, you know. They're also praying for my pastor's wife. And they're praying for all kinds of things. And I'm seeing the Lord work. And it's great. How do we seek the Lord? One of the ways we do it is prayerfully. Jeremiah 29:12, "Then ye shall call upon me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Prayer. When we come to Him in prayer. I know guys who are struggling. Lord, show me the way. Show me who you are. And He does. It's great. I'm telling you, it's great. Here, notice something else in that. How do we seek Him? Not just prayerfully, but we seek Him fully. Search me, search for me with part of your heart? No. All of your heart. All of your heart. Now, here's what happens. If I told you guys that in this room, Jeff Painter hid $1 million, all you need to do is find it. Some of you guys would tear the pews up looking for it, you know? Here we have something far more precious. Far more precious. And then we haphazardly seek Him when we have time. I'm going to seek Him when I get a minute. I'm going to seek Him. Hey, by the way, I'll let you know, I'm just not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. I struggle with these things too. I get into work and I tell myself I'm going to get in my Word and I'm going to seek the Lord before I do anything. And I get in there and as soon as I sit down and open the Bible, I get 10,000 calls. Or inmates needing my attention or something else. And then I kind of put it off. I put it off. And then I notice by the end of the day, I'm just beat. Man, I haven't put the Lord first. You know, I haven't put the Lord first. And what a testimony am I giving to these guys? When I should say, wait a minute, man, I need to seek my Lord. You know, so I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me here. I need this reminder myself all the time to prepare. So we prepare prayerfully. We prepare fully to seek the Lord. This is what David said to Solomon. O thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all. Perfect heart. That's not actual perfect. I mean, because he knew David wasn't perfect, man. He failed all the time, but he sought the Lord. He definitely sought the Lord. So we seek Him prayerfully, corporately. I mean, prayerfully, fully. Now, seek Him corporately. Open your Bibles to Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Why you do that, I'm going to read Amos 5:4. Amos 5:4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live." Who does he say it to? The whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. In Zephaniah, he says in 2:3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the days of the Lord's anger." Here's the deal, guys. Seeking the Lord is to be done corporately. Now, it used to drive me crazy that my grandmother would go, "I don't need to go to church. I got this TV preacher right here." I'm like, "Grandma, he may be good, but that's not the design that God set up. He set up a body of believers to support each other, to come under the preaching of His Word, corporate worship, to worship together. He designed it that way. It's not my design. It's God's design that we meet together, that we come together as a family. Now, we know that we have to seek God prayerfully. We know we have to seek Him fully and corporately, but we also need to seek Him scripturally. How did Ezra do it? Through the Scriptures. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to teach the Scriptures. You know what I have? One of the biggest movements in Christianity today. Let me say Christianity, okay? Because I don't really think it is Christianity. The apostolic movement. The new apostolic movement. It is the fastest growing segment of Christianity today. And it's a charismatic wave that is experience driven. And they are so far off of Scripture, it's crazy. I see them guys coming into my prison, okay? But if you look at it, the fastest growing sect of Christianity, or what they claim to be Christianity, is this apostolic movement. And it is highly engulfed in spiritualism. They have torn away from God's Word. You know, when I came into my chapel, they had paintings of Jesus all over, right? So not to offend anybody, they made a Chinese Jesus. They made an Arabic Jesus with a turban. They had a Jesus that looked like a Mongol and all this stuff. And I said, but paint all that stuff. Get that out of here. Paint over it. So they painted over. And the inmate said, why would you do that, chap? You got a problem with the black Jesus? You got a problem with a Korean Jesus? I said, you want to know what Jesus looks like? Get in your Word. Get in your Bible. Here's the problem is, you want to make God into your image and you don't want to conform into His. And you're never going to unless you get into His Word. You want to know what Jesus looked like? Get in His Word. Find out who He was. Find out what He did. Find out that He loved you and what He wants from you. We have to seek the Lord through Scriptures. We also need to seek Him humbly. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 10 for me. Psalms chapter 10. We're looking at verse 4. We got to seek the Lord humbly. I'll get guys in front of me that come and say, chap, do you know that I have an MDiv? Chap, do you know I got one guy that has a doctorate? I have a doctorate in ministry. And I say, great. What are you doing with it? Well, I don't really preach and I don't really talk to them guys because they ain't trying to hear it. I said, so you got all this education and you ain't doing anything with it, right? What are you doing, man? Well, he's standing in his proud, boastful self. If we want to seek the Lord, look at Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. One of the things that keeps God out of our thoughts, our pride. That can happen sometimes when we're offended. When we're offended, our pride's hurt a little bit. We ain't thinking godly. We're thinking about the person that hurt our pride. I can't believe so-and-so said that about me. I can't believe they did this to me. And we're hurt. Our pride's hurt a little bit. And we ain't thinking about the Lord. That's one of the ways. Go down to verse 17. Same chapter. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Now, we want God to prepare our heart. We got to be humble. We got to realize, Lord, I can do nothing apart from you. Nothing. I need you to help me. Help me know you. Help me seek you. Beautiful thing is, he says he will. Ain't that great? I told you, Rehoboam lost it all. Greatest kingdom given to him ever. Ever the world's ever seen, the greatest kingdom. Lost it, split in two. Right? Lost his wealth. I still remember doing, like I said, he had his shields. The guys in his shields, just the shields alone of the personal guard, was like $50 million. Just in the shields. This is the kind of wealth inherited to this guy. He got a wonderful kingdom handed to him on a platter and he lost it all. Prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. But his grandfather David, even though he wasn't perfect, he did seek the Lord. Open your Bibles. I'll close with this, Psalm 63. We're going to look at a man whose heart is prepared to seek the Lord. Perfect? No, not by any means. But a man whose heart is prepared. Excuse me. Psalms chapter 63. Here's David. He's in the wilderness of Judah. Listen to what he says. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. The guy who seeks the Lord is not wavered by his condition. David didn't say, hey, I'm in the desert running from my life. Lord, restore me, then I'll seek you. Doesn't say that. He's going to seek him right where he's at. Let's look at 2, verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. A guy that seeks the Lord praises the Lord. A guy that seeks the Lord praises the Lord. Let's go on to verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. The man that seeks the Lord will be a contentful man or woman. Be a person of content. Did I do that? Nope. Okay. Let's go to verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. What happens? Here's David saying, the joyful man, the guy that seeks the Lord, he remembers the things the Lord's done for him. He thinks on those things. Now you're telling me, in order to seek the Lord, you at least have a motivation in the fact that He has redeemed you. And that ought to be enough. But not only that, He's prepared a place and He's coming back for you. What an evidence. I'm sitting there with the imam, by the way, the Muslim leader, and I'm talking to him about other things, about seeking the Lord and about the kingdom of heaven and about Christ returning and all these things, you know. And he does everything he does in order to try to inherit, to earn eternal life. And I told him the difference between your faith and mine. Well, one of the major differences is the fact that you do to get, I do because it's been done. I do it out of love and devotion. And he thinks I'm crazy. And I think he's crazy. But I'm going to win that due to the Lord. He don't know it yet. But anyway, let me go on to verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The man that seeks the Lord will have peace and protection. Let's go to verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. The man that seeks the Lord will have his needs met. Needs, not wants. Needs. The man that seeks the Lord, he finds comfort in the Lord. Now, he may not get that nice car he wants. I'm trying to get my boys to buy me a motorcycle. They said, Dad, what do you want for Father's Day? I said, don't give me any Father's Day gifts from here on out. Save up all your money, and then you guys buy me a motorcycle. You know, they're like, yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Those that seek the Lord, don't worry about their enemies, because the Lord is taking care of that. They fall by the sword, they shall have their portion with the foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Those that seek the Lord will rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The man that seeks the Lord is a man of truth. Is a man of truth. Not only is he a man that's characterized by truth, but he is a man that proclaims truth. How do we know that someone's seeking the Lord, that is preparing his heart to seek the Lord? He wants others to know. He wants to tell others about the Lord. Now let me ask you something. Is that a desire for you, for others to know about the Lord? And you have to question, you know what, if I can sit in front of somebody and not sit there and wonder, like, man, does this guy know the Lord? Does this lady know the Lord? Does this young kid know the Lord? If you don't care, maybe you ain't seeking the Lord. Maybe you haven't prepared your heart to seek the Lord. If you are struggling with something continually over and over and you keep failing, are you preparing your heart to seek the Lord? Are you purposefully? Are you doing it prayerfully, corporately? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you doing it biblically? We have a duty. He gives us the ability, the means, and He's called us to do it. So let's prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. If you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that you brought here. Lord God, I ask that you'll bless them. Lord God, I ask that you'll lay upon them the desire to seek you, Lord. Father God, I ask that they pursue you with all that they have. Lord, I ask that you'll give them grace, Lord. Father God, remind them daily that life is about you and to seek your face continually. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.